97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemster with the Art of Potential Show. So super glad to have you with us today. We are going to have an absolutely fascinating conversation. My guest today is Diane Brandon. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you, Kristen.
So you might want to know what we're going to talk about. And let me tell you, it's something that applies very much to you. We are going to talk about decoding your dreams. Diane, you've written several books, and your most recent one is Dream Interpretation for Beginners, which I think is most of us anyway, Understanding the Wisdom of Your Sleeping Mind. Now, you're local. You have a degree from Duke. You have a degree from Carolina. You've been all over the place. So how did you get into this line of work?
Oh, you know, this came completely out of left field, Kristen.
You didn't dream about it?
And I did not.
You knew I had to ask.
Not in my wildest dreams. Right. I was pursuing acting and singing. Oh. I pursued acting and singing for years here in the Triangle. And all of a sudden, it seems, I started working with my intuition and things right. just took off. However, I have been interpreting dreams and reading right. sleep and dream research for longer than I've worked with my intuition. So it just snowballed. It took on a life of its own.
So this has always been a natural area of interest for you then, it sounds like.
Dreams have been. And I cannot remember when I first gained the interest, but I know back it was either late undergrad years or yeah. early grad school, I found books on sleep and dream research, and I started reading. My roommate in grad school and I would interpret each other's dreams in the morning.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah.
I know my sister actually took a class she went to App State, and she took a class on dreams, which I thought was really interesting that they would offer that class. Kind of fun.
Yes.
Okay, so here we are, we're beginners. Let's start at the very beginning. Let's talk about the sources of our dreams. What are some of those?
You know, it's interesting because I think most people think all dreams come from the same source, from the same place.
I do. I'm interested to hear what you have to say. You go to sleep, you dream, there you go.
And that's it.
Right.
Of course, perhaps I complicate matters. But I have found that there are several potential sources. Now, I think a lot of our dreams come from our unconscious, and I think that's mm-hmm. what most people are familiar with.
Right.
However, dreams can also come from other people. Passed on loved ones may communicate with us in the dream state. Dreams can come from our bodies.
Okay, communicating with us.
Like a bathroom dream, what I call a bathroom dream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Time to get up.
Or you can get information on health, you know.
And we're going to talk about that because that sounds very interesting.
Yes. Dreams can come, there can be spiritual dreams,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are coming from a spiritual source. So those are some of the potential sources. And I feel that it's important to try to identify the source of the dream because it helps in interpreting. And also some dreams come from within our minds because it's brain maintenance at night. It's filing memories
right.
away.
And I often think of dreams as coming from my daily experiences, like, you know, a conversation I had, a snippet of a television show I saw or something like that. Just like, oh, I understand why that came up because this is going on. Or, you know, it's like a processing. It's my CPU.
And you're dead on. Right. You're dead on, Kristen, because that's part of the brain maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And this is some of the research that's come out in the past few years that our brain is filing memories away, moving them from short-term storage to long-term storage.
Be and nice that if I can, could ask some.
There can be some interesting dreams right. that way.
What did I do with that? Yeah. Okay, so there are different sources of dreams. Are there different types of dreams?
There are different types of dreams. Okay. And some of them are really correlated with the sources.
Yeah.
You know, one mundane type is filing memories away.
Yep.
And often those are mundane dreams. They're not significant. You don't need to pay attention to them. Some dreams are what I call message dreams. We're getting a message from somebody. Some dreams are communication. They are a dialogue, a two-way conversation.
Between you and your higher self, between you and God, between you and your dead grandmother, like...
All of the above are possible, or even somebody you know in real life. You can carry on a conversation, and that, yes, that has happened.
Whoa!
That has happened. You can have dreams that are expressing fears, think nightmares.
Yes.
Dreams that express desires. Dreams that are creative and problem-solving. There are dreams that are expressing your issues and working, trying to work your personal issues out. There are healing dreams. Are dreams wonderful?
And the list goes on.
Yes, the list goes on.
So what are some of the most common types that you hear people, like when they reach out to you and they say, Diane, you've got to help me. Like what are the most common ones you get?
Well, it's interesting because, the most common ones I get are the working on issues.
Okay.
Those are the most common ones I get. Those are not necessarily the most common across the population. My sample is probably quite different. I did
because they're reaching out to you.
Yes.
I gotcha.
And they may be into personal growth and unfolding anyway,
right.
Which I love. I did an interview, it was last night or the night before, and the host asked me about recurring dreams that he has in which he's back as an undergrad in school and there's a test coming and he's failing. That's a common dream.
Yeah, I so relate to him. Or you show up after the test. Or, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, and I have intermittent dreams where it's like I'm doing a show and it's opening night and I haven't been to any rehearsals. Yeah. I do not know my lines and I don't have the script with me.
But so I know I'm going on stage in a few minutes.
Yes. Or dreams in which you're naked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're out in public somewhere and you look down and like, oops, no clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
So those dreams are tend to be expressing fears. Not necessarily all of them. You always have to look at the entire dream and all the details to decode the meanings. Those are some common dreams. Falling is a common dream. Being chased is a common dream. Some people have asked me, if you have a dream and you die in the dream, do you really die? No.
You wouldn't be asking me that.
You would not be here to ask me that. So those are some of the common dreams. Nightmares tend to be common dreams, and I think it's primarily because we remember dreams that elicit negative emotions.
Oh, that's such a bummer. Like, why can't you just forget those and remember, you know, the ones where you're king or something?
That would be better. That would be much better.
Well, so my typical thing is I have a dream and I immediately go to dream moods. And I look up whatever the image was on the dream. And I found it to be 70% useful. And she's giving me a shame on you. Like, when was the last time someone gave you a shame on you where they rubbed their fingers off each other? You remember that when you were little? Shame on you, your index finger. That's what I'm getting over here in the studio. Just want you to know.
Sorry. I am not big on dream dictionaries. Because
I gathered that.
Yeah. That was why. That's why I was doing that. I have found that for dreams coming from our unconscious, they have our meanings.
Right.
The symbols have our meanings because our unconscious has its own vocabulary. Our unconscious works completely differently from our conscious mind, number one. Number two, while we're sleeping, the cerebral cortex, the seat of higher reasoning, is turned off. So there's not logic, there's not naming.
Right.
So when you are trying to interpret a dream, it's very important, if the dream is coming from your unconscious, to look at a symbol in it and say, what do I think of when I think of water, when I think of coins? That's why. I'm very big on finding the meanings of a dream that are valid for the person who had the dream. And so dream dictionaries don't capture it. And I'll give you an example. Years ago, I think this was back late 80s, I had a dream with coins buried in the backyard. If you go to Dream Moods, if you go to Dream Dictionary, wealth, yada, yada. At that point, my father was collecting coins, so for me, it had to do with my father.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that makes total sense. You do have to contextualize it for your individual experience. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you need a starting point, and that's why I like dream moves.
70%.
Right. 70%. And the other 30%, you're like, nah, that just doesn't apply to me. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. When we come back, we are going to talk about more tips for interpreting your own dreams. Welcome back. This is the Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Diane Brandon. We are having an absolutely delightful conversation about dream interpretation. So, Diane, you gave me the shame fingers the last segment because I went to dream moods. And what I want to know from you is how, let's say I do have a dream and I get, I'll give you a most recent example. I got a beautiful bull elephant. Right? So it started as a baby, and I had a lot of emotion attached to it. Now, I think of all kinds of things when I think of elephants. One of them is Republican, right? And when I think of Donald Trump, I think of a bull elephant, right? But I didn't have the feelings for the elephant that I have for Donald Trump. So, anyway, just putting that out there. But so how would I go about unraveling that particular thing? There's an elephant in the room. But I felt like I really liked this elephant. And if I have an elephant in the room, I'm not really going to like it.
Okay, the first thing you want to do, Kristen, is look at the dream. Was there a scenario? How did the dream unfold? And some dreams can be very short and simple, as short as 4 minutes. Some dreams can be long and complex, as long as 72 minutes, which is amazing. Wow. That a dream can go on for that long.
Aren't they boring after a certain point? I mean, I have boring dreams sometimes.
Not necessarily. Not okay. Necessarily. So you want to look at the scenario. If it's a long dream, you want to start breaking it down into segments, like you're storyboarding it, and then work with each individual segment. One clue that you have is you loved this elephant.
Yeah.
So was there a scenario, or was it just that the bull elephant was there?
No, the elephant grew, and I enjoyed watching the elephant grow. And then just to see it, it was very magnificent. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that is just such a beautiful animal. So I did. I kind of saw it, but I don't remember anything else about it. And one thing I would like to touch on either now or later is how to recover some of that.
Well, you might make a note of that because that is a very important question,
yeah.
Really important question.
Yeah.
So we will go back to what do you think of when you think of an elephant?
I really do often associate elephants with Republicans because that's and again, with politics, so out there right now. I think that would be my most immediate thing.
Do you have a fondness for Republicans, for the Republican Party?
Not particularly.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the elephant for you really is the Republican Party.
I don't think it is.
Yes.
Though I really do like what Donald Trump is doing. I will admit that because he's not playing by any rules. And I do think that is hilarious.
Well, there are those who feel that he is serving as a disruptive influence,
right.
Understatement, that will leave the Republican Party looking, being in disarray. So if it is the Republican Party and you associate bull elephant with Trump because he is like a bull, then it could have to do with what is going on now. You're watching this in its infancy because he has just come on the scene as a candidate within, the past 3 or 4 weeks and been very disruptive.
Yes.
And you watch it grow and you feel this fondness because you are not a Republican. You're a Democrat.
Yeah, but I don't have anti-Republican feelings.
Okay.
I'm not a Democrat in that way.
Mm-hmm.
What I do like about Trump actually crosses party lines. I like the fact that he's not beholden to anybody. And that's something I dislike immensely about politics.
Yes, and it just came out on the news today about his conversation with Bill Clinton prior to announcing.
Shoot, I didn't even hear that.
Yes. So the other possibility could be other aspects of an elephant, for example, endangered species.
Yeah, I don't really think about that.
Okay. So this is where I would have to really get into the intuition.
Okay.
There is something about this. You love animals.
Yes.
So that's coming out in the dream. Starts off as an elephant calf, I believe.
Yeah.
The babies are called calves.
Yep.
And you love it, and it grows. Does anything happen while it's growing? Anything else that's transpiring in the dream while it's growing?
That's a great question, and I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how you felt at the end of the dream?
Oh, I was so excited because it was so magnificent.
Mm-hmm. And it was growing.
Yes, and it was growing.
So what could it be that starts off small that you want to really nurture that is like wildlife that you see grow and do well, and it's magnificent?
I can't think of anything offhand except for my children.
But it could be some other project of yours.
Right, I understand. It doesn't have to be a live thing. Mm-hmm. It can be a project. It can be, and at this moment I'm not pulling anything up, but mm-hmm. I'll certainly give it some thought.
Yeah, because it's obvious that the elephant is significant in some way because it's not a puppy.
Right.
You know, it's not a more common animal.
And I don't usually dream about elephants.
And there could be more than one meaning. That's valid because there could be a flavor of an endangered species that is allowed to grow,
mm-hmm.
i.e. thrive
and
do well. So that may not be the overall meaning, but that could be a meaning that's partially there.
Yeah, that it has a lot. So like a double entendre, it can have a bunch of different...
Any one symbol in a dream can have more than one meaning that's valid for the dreamer, and any... Dream can have more than one valid meaning. This is one of the reasons why dreams are so rich. We just have to figure out what that elephant was for you. Because
that's
there was no hint of wildness in it. It didn't feel threatening in any way.
No.
You were nurturing it.
Yeah. I was admiring it.
You were admiring it.
Yeah. And rooting for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really like that elephant. So let's go back to how to recover these lost portions of dreams, because I think all of us struggle in the morning. Like, and I find this when I first wake up, I really remember vividly what happened, and it all makes sense. And then I have coffee or tea, and I don't remember anything. And then when I think about it, it all sounds really weird.
Yes. You know, unfortunately, dreams are really ephemeral.
Mm-hmm.
When we wake up, I think it's within 5 to 7 seconds, 50 to 70% of a dream is gone.
Oh, and you gotta act fast.
The reason for that is as soon as we open our eyes, we're bombarded by visual stimuli, and our brain starts to focus on that. Plus, our attention shifts because when we go to sleep, there are physiological changes in the body and in the brain. So when we're waking up, those are shifting back.
Right.
So the best thing to do, sometimes you may not be able to recover lost details unless you meditate and go back into it. But what you can do is try to keep your eyes closed, wake up very, very slowly, and allow yourself to think about the dream and savor the details and immediately record it.
Okay. And how do you record your dreams? Do you journal them? Do you talk them through?
I think about them.
Okay.
And I get the sense of the meaning. I don't actually write them down or literally record them. But for people who are starting to work with their dreams or want to work with them over a period of time, it's good to do that. You can do that by writing them down, or you can keep a handheld digital recorder right by your bed because...
Or your phone.
You don't want to wake up in the middle of the night and record your dream and turn on the light, because then it may be difficult to get back to sleep. You may be interrupting your sleep cycle. So I believe in recording only the dreams that you sense are significant ones, and try to do it in as minimally intrusive a way as you can. You know, just keep your eyes closed, reach over and pick up that digital recorder and just record into it. Put it back, go back to sleep.
Siri, record my dream.
Yes, read my mind, record my dream. And one advantage of recording your dreams is if you take your dream journal out months down the road, a lot of times you'll be able to read a dream and go, I know what that means. Yes.
Well, we'll have to do that. We're going to take a break right now. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra and my wonderful guest, Diane Brandon. We will be right back. Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra. I am talking with Diane Brandon, and we are having a great time talking about dream interpretation. So I know that a lot of you have dreams out there that you are working on interpreting. You know, you're trying to figure out, what did this mean? How does this fit? You know, and I'm sure there's some of you out there who are like, you know, I don't remember any dream. I haven't remembered any dreams in years. And so my question to you, Diane, is how do you recover those nuggets? How do you recover the story?
It's very, very difficult. It's very difficult, Kristen. The only way I could recommend, aside from what we just discussed before the break, is to allow yourself, and you need to do this quickly after waking up, allow yourself to close your eyes and get into a quasi-meditative state.
Okay, so you picture the nugget you have, and you go back to in time to that nugget.
And the feeling. Because feeling is really huge in dreams. It's critical in interpreting dreams. It's really important in getting back into it, if you can. But I have to preface this and say this is very challenging to do.
Okay.
Very challenging.
So in some ways, would it be easier to pull up the feeling first and then the image? I'm just trying to think of the step-by-step process, if you would go through. Huh.
I would say try to do them both at the same time.
See what you get.
They're often intertwined. And with the cerebral cortex turned off while we're sleeping, the limbic system is actually activated more. So feeling is very important.
So let's talk about dreams that come from a higher place or a higher consciousness. How do you determine what those are in, you know, as opposed to just your run-of-the-mill dream?
You mean that they are coming from a higher source?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to sense that, discern that they are. I personally feel that we can just sense when it's coming from a higher source. They're often important messages for us, or we're led, or we're guided.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple people in my book who have an awareness while they're sleeping, often in the deepest levels of sleep where we don't tend to remember things, that they're taken places and shown things and taught things, and one person heals, goes out and helps to heal people.
These sound like out-of-body experiences.
They can be, but it can be that the consciousness is traveling, not necessarily
right.
what we call the astral body. It can be the consciousness. And I know for myself, and admittedly, you know, I'm a little different, I have always remembered what I thought when I was born. So I have literally...
What?
Yes. So I've literally been spiritually aware since I was born.
Wow.
And that's the book I'm writing now. I found a handful of other people, too.
So, you remember what you thought when you were born.
Yeah, I didn't want to be here again. And I knew when I wasn't here, I was with the divine. And while I wasn't here...
So you were pissed.
I was not happy. However, I knew I had to be. I knew there was something I was supposed to do here. So for me... For me, sleeping has always been wonderful because I'm not here. It's the closest I can come
right.
to being back on the other side.
Right.
So there is that spiritual component anyway, even if some people aren't spiritual or don't pay attention to it. So I think we sense I'm being given something here. Often, if there's a spiritual source, somebody asked me, you know, what does God's energy feel like? And I said, it is just incredibly powerful and benevolent.
Occasionally, I'll have dreams that are somewhat similar to that. And it's always interesting to me the way the vehicle through which the message travels, because it's always for me, not always, but I'd say 80% of the time through music and song lyrics. And if I need a message or something like that, it comes through. It can be Santana. It can be Everlast. I mean, I'll go for some really hard rocking bands.
That's great.
But is this
while you're dreaming?
Yes, while I'm dreaming. And if I'm not paying attention, it gets louder and louder and louder and louder. And I'm like, okay.
This brings up a point.
Oh, good.
Don't you love points?
Awesome.
Everybody has their own individual style of dreaming. Everybody does. So this is one of the mechanisms that occurs for you. Now, the same thing happens to me, but while I'm awake.
Yes, and I'll get occasionally, too, when I'm awake. And which, now we've got another point.
Yes. Love those points.
Lots of points. Let's talk about it's a fluid. I'm seeing it almost as an infinity sign. Like, there's a difference between the awake state and the asleep state, but there is still some fluidity in between those two.
Absolutely, and that is a wonderful point, because our unconscious is still there while we're awake. It's a matter of whether we're paying attention to it. And if you look at brainwave states, alpha is the bridge between conscious awareness and what lies below conscious awareness. And for people who have more alpha brainwaves in their signature, they tend to be more aware of what's going on underneath. Now, we can use the word introspective. I tend to use the word depth. Somebody's got depth.
Right.
They're paying attention. They're not just oriented in their conscious mind to what's on the surface. So, yes.
Well, okay, so what is a theta state? Because I've heard that referred to before.
Theta is just under alpha, so it's a little slower than alpha. Delta is underneath theta. And delta is the slowest brainwave. So while we're sleeping...
I'm sorry, I keep thinking delta, can I help you? That was not an unconscious statement.
I love that. That was a good connotation. But scientists, sleep researchers, say there are four stages of sleep. And two stages of theta and two stages of delta. When we meditate, we're often in a low alpha or a high theta.
Okay.
The work of Anna Wise, and I love her model, you know, of the mind, that theta is equated with the subconscious, which is a repository of memories, and delta is more active. It's the unconscious that seeks out, that probes, etc. A lot of people don't distinguish between the two. She does. I like that work. When we're awake, we tend to be in beta and or alpha, and there are also gamma brain waves when we have those sudden insights. And the more you meditate, the more gamma you have. Isn't that wonderful?
I'm all gamma. No.
gamma.
Well, so I'm going to go back to dream moods. Wouldn't dream moods be like in the lowest delta then? It's like, because I think of that as kind of the collective unconscious. Like, there's some collective memory that all people tap into on some level, where the meanings or the translations can cross over in picture or musical or some type of, I don't know. It just strikes me as a possibility.
Well, obviously, Jung talked about the collective unconscious. Yep. Those of us who are metaphysicians or spiritual,
right,
talk about the fact that everything and everyone is connected on the highest levels. There's no separation. There may be the sense of this is a soul and that's a soul, but we're all connected. And I personally feel that there is a consciousness, a divine consciousness, if you want to call it God consciousness, right, that runs through everything and everyone. So yes, in the deepest levels, in Delta, we can tap into that, but we can also have our own POV, you know, point of view. So I think both exist there, and I feel that the unconscious can also be our personal stuff, the old mindsets,
yes,
beliefs, fears.
Right.
But the higher soul awareness, what I call the higher soul awareness, can also be there in the unconscious and communicating with it. So
yeah,
there's a whole lot there.
Oh, yes, there is. And I don't know that we need to take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Art of Potential Show with Kristen Hiemstra. Welcome back. This is the Art of Potential show with Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Diane Brandon about dreams. This is a great show on decoding your dreams. So, Diane, one of the many things we've been talking about is how to recall your dreams, common dreams, and we just ended our last segment in the metaphysical world talking about all the different layers and connection points. So what I'd like to actually talk about in this segment is your book, The Dream Interpretation for Beginners. As you wrote this book, who was your audience? What were you thinking about? And what was your, so this is going to go into our dream conversation. Were you having divine conversations? Were you working it out in your mind, in your dreams before you were writing it? Like, tell me about writing this book and your own dream cycle.
Ooh, that's a good question. The book really stemmed, a lot of the information in the book stemmed from my working with dreams for so many years,
right.
The sleep and dream research. And
so you have it all there cognitively.
Like, and notes.
And notes and
lots
everything.
Of notes.
So, like, I'm just thinking of a parallel to a scientist. You know, mm-hmm. So you have your work that you are doing, and a lot of people have their other fields of work. So you started out. Okay, keep going.
I wanted it to be a book that went from A to Z.
Okay.
For the reader. The publisher is a metaphysical publisher. So I really try to appeal to as wide a readership as possible. So I was walking the line between mainstream
right.
and spiritual. And I started out with some basics in the book and then looked at some of the research.
Right.
Because I feel like it's
right.
important to be
yeah.
aware of some things
absolutely.
In interpreting dreams.
Right.
The editor wanted me to include, you know, some common dreams and potential meanings. And then I went into actually how to interpret dreams.
So while you were going through this process, did you have any dreams yourself, like any insights or inspirations that were coming through? Like in our last segment, we talked about kind of, I see it as an infinity sign. I know other people will interpret it differently, but it's kind of like you're waking, you're unconscious. You're waking, you're unconscious. Like they work symbiotically.
They do. They do. And for me, I don't remember getting any insights or inspiration from that I'm consciously aware
right,
of.
That
I have
you're
to say that
aware of, right.
from the sleep or dream state, but many, many while I'm awake, and that's another theory of mine that has to do with the unconscious as the inner administrative assistant.
Right.
And when I do routine activities like showering,
right,
brushing my teeth, those insights are
driving.
Just flooding,
right.
flooding in. It's like, I got to get to my notepad and make notes. Yes, yes, yes. And I have to also say that even though I didn't know I was intuitive before I started working with my intuition, I realized in retrospect that I've always been inner guided. So I'm always guided and led.
And there has to be some feeling of safety or security in that, to feel like you're being led somewhere or guided somewhere or something like that. It would seem that that would add a very nice anchoring element to your experience.
It absolutely does, and that goes back to what I remembered when I was born. So I've always felt a direct connection with the divine, and I've always felt protected
right.
and guided. And I didn't even think about that consciously. It's just part
right.
of me.
Right.
And I've come to realize I'm very, very fortunate.
Right.
I am so fortunate. So,
right. And you didn't know how fortunate you were until you learned that other people didn't have that experience.
Yes, yes.
I'd like to talk about how your body talks to you in dreams and the healing aspect of dreams. So how would your body let you know, besides, ow, my tooth hurts, like, you know?
Often it can be a dream about something. It can be a dream that's literal. There have been women who have dreamt, for example, of having breast cancer, consciously unaware of it.
Right.
Go and get a mammogram, and they find out that they do indeed have it. As a matter of fact, there's a guy here in the Triangle who's been researching dreams where people get health information. Those can be literal dreams. You right. dream about having the disease. There are also dreams that are figurative, that are symbolic about illness. There's one in the book. This is a woman I'm connected to on Facebook who is a psychologist who had dreams. I think it was a series of dreams about a spot on her leg. And I think her grandmother was in one. And then there was another dream about chopping legs off of roosters or something. And I can't remember the specifics. Those right. dreams are in the book. But it turns out she did indeed. She finally went and got checked. And she did have, I think it was a form of cancer. But those were figurative. Those were symbolic. Right. So they can come. It's interesting that your dreams are trying to give you a message about health, and they're not all literal.
Right. Which you just want to look and say, hey, can you just spell it out for me?
Can you make it easy for me?
I'm paying attention.
Yes, yes. So they can come in different ways. And that can be, even in the dream state, having a feeling, a pain in a part of your body. So there are different possible ways in which those dreams can unfold and give you that message.
So speaking of body, how about dreams in which you go to the bathroom in your dream?
I call those bathroom
right,
dreams.
Right.
You have a dream and it's like you're trying to get in the bathroom.
Right.
There's a long
right.
line or this doesn't work or whatever. And you wake up and you really do right. have to go to the bathroom. Those are wonderful examples of something going on in the body while we're sleeping and dreaming that intrude and create dream content. Can also happen with temperature. If it's really cold in the room, you may dream that you're at the Arctic Circle.
Right. And you're desperately looking for something warm to put on.
Yeah, you wake up and you go, no wonder it's freezing in here. So yes, there are different possibilities. Yep. Or you can hear noises outside. This is not coming from your body, but you can hear noises outside and it gets incorporated
totally
into
does.
The dream state.
I used to be a master of incorporating my alarm clock.
Oh, that's that's wonderful. And speaking of alarm clocks, if you really want to record your dreams, do not wake up to an alarm that jolts you awake and jump out of bed. Use something that's nice, soft, ambient sounds, as long as you pay attention and you do wake up. But that's another trick in recording your dreams.
And I have found that makes a huge difference just in my overall waking up experience.
Oh, yes.
Just makes me much more pleasant. Right now I have Robert Plant Big Log on. It just kind of, because it sounds kind of dreamy anyway, and then it, you know, kind of eases you out as opposed to the one I used to have, which was, you know, like a fire alarm and you wake up and
good for you.
Yeah. taking it seriously. So for people who want to get a hold of your book, tell us where to go, how to go about that.
My book is available in bookstores. It's available online. Again, the title is Dream Interpretation for Beginners: Understand the Wisdom of Your Sleeping Mind. There's a lot of wisdom there, but it is readily available. Should be readily available.
And I will have a link to it on artofpotential.com. I'm redoing my website, but if you look under podcasts or radio, you will be able to find a link to it as well. So, Diane, any parting words for somebody who is getting excited about going into the dreaming journey?
I would say, first of all, respect your dreams. Even if they seem really, really bizarre, once you tease out the meanings, they make perfect sense.
What if they don't make perfect sense? What if they're just so weird that you're just like, I don't get this at all?
Could possibly be precognitive.
Okay.
Sometimes with precognitive dreams, we don't know what it was really about until after the event happens. And the most famous one I can tell you about is September 11th, those awful events. Several people told me afterwards that they had had dreams about it beforehand, but they didn't know what in the world.
No. A lot of people. I had John Edward, who's a psychic medium, on you know, a few shows ago, and he said that he was shocked how many people had precognitive experiences with 9/11.
And the reason for that, and there are actually some people who are researching this, is that the idea, the concept is that if something is going to happen that is really tearing the fabric of the zeitgeist, more people pick up on it in advance, whether consciously or unconsciously.
What is the zeitgeist?
The spirit of the times, the mindset, you know, the cultural mm-hmm. mindset, just like September 11th changed our culture. Yeah, it changed our culture.
Everything.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. This has been the Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.